Good morning. Today's Daf in Yevamos Pei Vav. We're on the Mishnah on Pei Ham and Beis. Here in this very short ninth parak of the Masechta, Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow we're going to be finishing up the parak. This parak is Chazar. It's a review. Tosra says so in the beginning of the parak. You go back to the beginning and Daf Pei Dalin. So Tosra says, he quotes one of the Balei Tosos, Derech Atanel Acha Shapirish Halachos and Masechta, Chozer Vishono Sambaloshim Katzar. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing a lot of Chazar in this parak. Things that we knew already, although today, truth of the matter is that we're gonna say, the Gemara is gonna say a couple of tremendous chidushim, but short of that though, the general idea of this parak is that it's review. So the first mission, the first sugya, which we covered the last couple of days. So basic halachas regarding Yibum, specifically, how is it possible that Yivama could be, mutter to original husband, but aster to the Yavam, or inversely, aster to original husband and mutter to the Yavam. So we went over a number of scenarios like that. Strange scenarios to say the least, but nevertheless. With that stated, we continue now. We pick it up right with the next Mishnah. And again, most of what we're hearing now in the Mishnah is going to be Chazar. It's going to be review. But before we start with the review of the Mishnah, let me just start off with a basic review that we all know. But let's go over it. A Kohen eats Truma, and only a Kohen can eat Truma. Truma has Kedusha. And as such, a non-Kohen cannot eat Truma. Most of the time, Kodesh is eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's not true by Truma. Truma can be eaten outside the Beis HaMikdash. Truma can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but it has to be eaten only by Kohen and only in a state of Tahara. Kohen eats Truma, and the Kohen's not in a state of Tahara. That's an issue in the Torah. The Truma is the first 2% taken off from the grain. After the farmer gathers in the grain, the oils, the wine, and according to the Rambam, all other fruit. So then there's a mitzvah in the Torah to take a portion and give it over to the Kohen. That's called Truma. The Torah itself doesn't give a percentage. I'm just shooting out information over here. The Torah itself does not give out a percentage in terms of how much you give to the Kohen. The Torah repeatedly just simply says that you give a portion, a matana. But the Chachamim gave a recommendation, and that is 2%. Okay, and with there's a range. It doesn't have to be exactly 2%. In fact, the Gemara says on numerous occasions that if you feel like you're in a really generous move, so you give a little bit more than 2%. You give a 40th. If you feel like you want to be cheap, so you give a 60th, and a Beinoni, somebody who's just a quote unquote average person, so you should give a 50th. You should give 2%. Fine. So that is all within the halachas of Truma. So the Kohen can eat Truma. Who else can eat Truma? So any acquisition of the Kohen can eat Truma. So King and Kaspa of the Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. And of course the children of Kohanim can eat Truma, but the children of a Kohanim, you know what you call that? You call that a Kohen. But any of the King and Kaspa, any of the acquisitions of a Kohen can eat Truma. So that means to say that a woman, and his avadim, so they can eat Truma as well. I meant wife, but okay. So now, as far as a wife is concerned, so let's go over more information that we already have gone over numerous times. But again, this is just really basic information that really helps us navigate through these Gemaras. So when we say his wife, what we really mean is that he married her in both stages of marriage. Marriage comes in two stages, Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin, the first stage of marriage where they are married. After Erusin, they're bona fide husband and wife. It's just that at this point in time, they don't live together and they're not intimate with one another, but rather it creates Isser. So when you do Arusin, it's just a great way to think about it, but I don't think there's anything to it, but you take Arusin, the word Arusa, and you just flip the letters around and it's Isser. Okay. It's a mnemonic. It doesn't, I don't think there's anything really there. So she's a married woman. And then you go on to the next stage of marriage, which back in the day used to be a year later. And that second stage of marriage is Nisuin. They live together. They're intimate with one another. He's financially responsible for her, etc., etc. Good. So that is those are the two stages of marriage. At which stage of marriage is she allowed to eat Truma? So Mi'ikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, the first stage of marriage. Because at the first stage of marriage, what did he do? He made a kinyan. In other words, he said, Harei Ad Mekudesh Asli, he gave her money. Or it could be done with the shtar. It could also be done with bia, but the Gemara is, the Chachmei HaGemara are totally opposed to that idea. But anyway, he gives her money and says, Harei Ad Mekudesh Asli, and Betabazu. Okay, ring and anything of value, really. And so that's the point in time where he makes a kinyan. So it's at that point in time that may Iker Hadin, now she is the acquisition of the Kohen. She can now eat Truma. And the Chachamim said, yeah, but wait. Wait until you actually are married together. The Chachamim were concerned. We saw this also earlier in the Masechta, that if she starts eating Truma at the point of Erusin, even though she may Iker Hadin, she's allowed to do so, but they're not living together. She's still living with her family. So what she's going to do, she's going to visit her husband, and the husband and her are going to sit down and have a nice Truma meal, and then she's going to take the leftovers and bring it back home, and she's going to share it with her family. So the Chachamim were worried about that. So the Chachamim said that Arusa cannot eat Truma, and that even though Me'ikar Adin, she's entitled to eat Truma at the point of Erusin, she's going to have to wait until she does Nisuin in order to eat Truma. Okay, that was just a lot of information, but good. It's all review. Everything we've done before, and now let's begin the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael Mu Restless Kohen. So when I have my Bas Yisrael who has gone through Erusin with a Kohen, or Mu Beres Mekohen, or let's say she's married to the Kohen, but now she's pregnant. Shomeres Yavam LeKohen. Alternatively, she is waiting Yibum. She is a Yavama. So V'chein. Similarly, Bas Kohen LeYisrael, well, you have a Bas Kohen who is a rusa to a Yisrael lo socha b'truma. In all of the above circumstances, she may not eat truma. Okay, so most of these we already understood, meaning one by one. So when you have the Bas Yisrael Mereses HaKohen, so she's not allowed to eat truma. What do you mean she's not allowed to eat truma? So again, see above, meaning go back to the introduction, and you'll understand, meaning it's only Erusin, it's not Nisuin, so as Xera de Rabbanan, she's not allowed to eat truma. What about the next case? Mu'uberes Mekohen. Mu'uberes Mekohen means that she's fully married. And they were intimate. And Baruch Hashem, she's pregnant. So now she can't eat Truma? Yeah, that's right. She can't eat Truma because of the Uber, because of the fetus. Right? And we discussed this also earlier in the Masechta as well. The fetus does not empower her to eat Truma. Okay, we talked about this earlier. And then, Shomeres Yavam. Shomeres Yavam Lekohen. So unfortunately, she's widowed right now. And she's awaiting Yibum. So even though she has a Zika with her next husband, but you don't know if it's the next husband, meaning he could do Yibum, he could also do Chalitza. And even though she has a Zika to him, but they're not fully married. So this is a tenuous relationship, and so therefore she's not entitled to eat Truma. Okay. And similarly, Bas Kohen LeYisrael, meaning a Bas Kohen prior to her betrothal to a Yisrael, she of course was allowed to eat Truma, meaning she's the daughter of a Kohen, she can eat Truma. But once she accepts Erusin from a Yisrael, so that's it. In other words, now that she elected to marry Yisrael, which she certainly has every right to do, but once she does so, she no longer is able to eat Truma. Okay. Well, again, all basics, and we knew this already. Bas Yisrael Mu'uberes Levi. Here comes the exciting part of the Mishnah. So I have a Bas Yisrael who has Erusin with a Levi, Mu'uberes Melevi, or she's pregnant from a Levi, or Shomeres Yavam Lelevi, or again, she's waiting for Yibam from a Levi. V'chein Bas Levi LeYisrael. Alternatively, you have a Bas Levi to Yisrael, Lo socha b'meiser. So she's not allowed to eat meiser. Okay, this is exciting. Okay, so again, what do we know regarding meiser? So meiser now is that 10% that you take off after you take off truma. So the first thing the farmer does is he takes off 2% as truma. The next thing that he does is he takes 10%, that's what's called meiser rishon. And what do you do with that meiser rishon? You give it to the Levi. And this is annual. This is doesn't matter which year of the Shemitah year it is. Years 1 through 6. So you're going to be taking off Meiser Rishon, giving it to the Levi. And now what does the Levi do with his Meiser Rishon? He says, thank you, and then he eats it. And his whole family eats it. Now, generally speaking, prior to today's daf, what did we all think? So we all thought that when it comes to Meiser Rishon, so is the Levi allowed to share the Meiser Rishon? 100%. Share with whoever he wants. Meiser Rishon has no kedusha whatsoever. Now, the truth of the matter is just to dot an I and to cross the T, the truth of the matter is Meiser Rishon, the Levi does have to take 10% of the Meiser Rishon and give it to the Kohen, and that's what's called Trumas Meiser. Okay, but right now our focus is on the Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon, it's not Kodesh, it doesn't have any Kedusha to it, and so we thought up until today's daf that the Levi can go ahead and share his Meiser Rishon with whomever he wants. And meanwhile, what the Mishnah seems to be saying, and this is going to be most of today's daf's focus, is that the Meiser Rishon can be eaten and only eaten exclusively by Leviim. And what is going on over here? Okay. Yep.
The question is, does he have to take the Truma first before he shares?
Yes. In other words, does he, meaning you're talking about from the Meiser Rishon?
Yeah.
100%, yeah. Yeah, the Truma's Meiser has to be taken off first. Correct. Absolutely correct. It's an excellent point. Meaning the Meiser Rishon is Tevel until the Truma is taken off. Yeah, that absolutely correct. V'chein baslevi yisrael lo socha b'maisa. Baslevi meresus l'kohen. Me'uberes mikohen shomeres yavim l'kohen. Let's say a baslevi is either meresus from a kohen or pregnant from a kohen or shomeres yavim l'kohen. V'chein bas kohen l'levi lo socha lo b'chuma v'lo b'maisa. So at that point in time, now cannot eat chuma, cannot eat meiser. Okay, so obviously the main focus over here, the most eyebrow-raising event that occurred in this Mishnah over here, because most of the information in this Mishnah is things that we've gone over earlier in the Masechta, in other words, Chazara, but what really caught our attention is the fact that when it comes to meiser, so it sounds like, you know, there's an exclusivity to meiser, that only a Levi can eat meiser. And anyone who is not fully on board with the Levi cannot eat Maaser Rishon. So Vitei Zara. So the Gemara says so right away. That's really going to be most of what we're going to be discussing in today's daf. So let's say that I have a Bas Levi married to Yisrael. Okay, so now she's a Zara, right? She's no longer as Kedusha. Zara Milo Achla B'Maaser? What's the big deal? Eat Maaser Rishon. Who can't eat Maaser Rishon? Can't we all eat Maaser Rishon? We get invited to our Levi friend's house. Right, and he's sitting down to a meal, and he has Maaser Rishon. It's a gift to the Levi, but it doesn't have Kedusha, and so the Mishnah makes it sound like, well, if you're no longer a Levi, you can no longer get Maaser Rishon. What's going on over here? It sounds crazy. So, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. Zara milo achla b'maaser. So, what is our Mishnah doing over here, saying that Maaser Rishon can only be eaten by a Levi? Okay, so for this question, it's a really strong question. So we're going to have a total of three answers in today's daf. It's really the entirety of today's daf. In other words, trying to answer this question. And so on the Amud Aleph of today, answers 1, 2, and 3. So here we start off with answer number 1. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hamani Rebbe Meirhi. So there is a Shita. And the truth of the matter is, earlier in the Masechta, we saw this back on Daf Ayin Dalet. And so here we are today reviewing the Shita Rav Meir. And now it's a Shita's Yachid. It's a minority position. We don't pass like this position, but it's out there. And in Justin explaining the Mishnah, so what we're going to do is we're going to align our Mishnah with this Shita of Rebbe Meir. Happens to be it works out pretty well because generally speaking, we say Stam Mishnah to Rebbe Meir. When you see an anonymous Mishnah, our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah, goes like Rebbe Meir. Okay. Anyway, so Hamani Rebbe Meir, Damar Maaser Rishon, Asa Lazarim. So Rebbe Meir takes a unique position that Maaser Rishon is prohibited to a non-Levi. Now, Daniel, we learned in the following brayso. We're on the top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Truma lekohen a Maaser Rishon leLevi deVer Rabbi Meir. Truma goes to Kohen. Maaser Rishon goes to Levi. That is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah matir lekohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that it's permitted to be eaten by a Kohen, meaning Maaser Rishon is permitted to be eaten by a Kohen. So matir mechlal deikamanda aser. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? As if anyone would subscribe that it's Aser. So Alaema knows no af la Kohen. Meaning we're talking about allocation over here. You can actually give it to a Kohen. So my time of the Rav Meir. Okay, so before we get to my time of the Rav Meir. So you have a Braisa in front of us, and this Braisa tells us that the only one who can eat Maaser Rishon, according to Rav Meir, is a Levi. I look back at the Braisa, I don't know. Meaning, what does the Braisa say? Truma lekohen. That's talking about allocation. Maaser Rishon lelevi. That's talking about allocation. It also means that we're not only talking about allocation, we're also talking about consumption as well. So what you have to do, I mean, Rashi says this. What you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to read into the Braisa. Because the Braisa doesn't spell it out the way we're looking to hear it from the Braisa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says it really clearly. So Truma LeKohen, Nisinos LeKohen, or Maaser Rishon LeLevi. So where Rashi from the very get go talks about allocation. Who are we giving the Truma to? So the answer is Kohen. Who are we giving the Maaser Rishon to? The answer is Levi. Ketani Maaser LeLevi Dumya de Truma LeKohen. And so now what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to read into the Braisa. Right? This is without Rashi over here, you get a little bit lost because you don't see it in the Braisa. But Rashi, as Rashi explains over here, just like the Truma is given to the Kohen and exclusively eaten by the Kohen, we're going to say the same thing regarding Maaser. Given to the Levi and exclusively eaten by the Levi as well. Ma Truma achilasa kenisina sala Kohen v'lo lazar, av Maaser Levi achilasa Levi v'lo lazar. And we're going to be assuming now in the Braisa that we're not just talking about allocation, we're talking about allocation and consumption. Just like by the truma to the Kohen, allocation in consumption is only by the Kohen. Same thing is true regarding the Levi. Now, there's no alternative, says Rashi. Meaning, don't suggest another pshat. Because consider for a moment. Did we think anything otherwise by truma? Meaning by truma. Is there any entertainment for a moment that there's another recipient of truma? The answer, of course, is no. So nihi de meiser itzrich leila ruye de lo yavin la lekohen kareb lazer ben azariah ela truma lamali. So as Rashi now, it's such a good way to look at the braisa. As Rashi now points out, why was truma mentioned at all? It's there to establish a precedent. Just like truma is allocated and consumed only by kohanim, so too meiser rishon is allocated and consumed only by leviim. That's how you read the braisa. Okay, it's a beautiful Rashi. Okay, anyway, we go back to our Gemara. So, my time at the Rav Meir. We're on the fourth line down. So, in the Braisa now, we were introduced to the Shita Rav Meir, which is that Maaser Rishon is exclusively eaten by Levim and cannot be eaten by non-Levim. So, my time at the Rav Meir. So, on what basis? Meaning, find me the Pesukim and show me where exactly in the Pesukim you see this. So, I'm Rav Acha Berei, the Rav Mishmei de Gemara. So Rav Acha, the says it, Mishmei de Gemara. So the Gemara is making a self-reference, right? So of course, that's not right. The Gemara is not making a self-reference. When the Gemara uses the word Gemara, what it means is it's a tradition. Rashi right here says it very clearly. Meaning, you just keep taking it back, all the way back. And what he had is a tradition, meaning he's an Amara who lived sometime after a mayor. Now, a mayor happens to be a late Tana. So how many years are we between Rav Meir and this particular Amara? I don't know. But in other words, let's say it's a couple hundred years. Just for the sake of, arguing. So what happens is that he had a direct tradition going back to Rav Meir. And that is the following. Ki es Maaser ben Yisrael, and by the way, and Rashi points out, and he's not just saying it on his own. Meaning sometimes the Amara, in explaining a Tana, doesn't have a direct Masara. So what he does is he has to produce a svara. And so, okay. In other words, so you produce a svara. Okay. Right. And Amorayim, who are much more in tune with Torah Shabbat Peh, so they could do that. Right. You and I, or at least I can speak for myself. So I can't do that. I can't produce a svara. But over here, as Rashi points out, he's not producing a svara. He has it as a direct Masara from Rabbi Meir. And that's the following. Ki es Maaser ben Yisrael sheyareim el Hashem truma. So, here in Parshas Korach, right, after dispute, and after resolution, and after Aaron is established to be the Kohen. I mean, he always was, but, it was challenged for a moment, and then, he survived the challenge. So now, in the end of Parshas Korach, so it goes through all the Matnos Kahuna again. Ki es Maaser ben Yisrael sheyareim el Hashem truma. Okay, so by the fact that the two are mentioned, the same pasuk, truma and meiser, so therefore meiser is going to have a truma quality to it. Just like truma can only be eaten by kohanim, meiser can only be eaten by levim. So ima truma chayav malav misa v'chomesh, av meiser chayav malav misa v'chomesh. Okay, so new, so how far do you want to go through with this hekesh? Meaning truma can only be eaten by kohanim. Now let's say a non-kohen, let's say I go ahead and decide that I want to eat truma. So, if I do a b'mezid, I'm chayv misa. If I do a b'shogeg, I have to make full restitution, and I have to add another 25% on top of that. So, maybe the same thing is true regarding Maaser Rishon. Meaning, is Rav Meir really to go that far? So, amakra, umesu bo, ki yichaleluhu. V'yasav chamishiso alav, bo v'lo b'maiser, alav v'lo amaiser. Okay, so we have exclusions, meaning the word bo, the word alav. We have exclusions that tells us that no. That even though Maaser and Truma, this is, again, everything I'm saying right now is according to Rav Meir. Okay? In other words, just make sure we have all the information organized in our head really well. This is all an explanation of Rav Meir. This is not the halacha. But within the sheet of Rav Meir, so now, even though Maaser and Truma are in the same pasuk together, and even though they're both exclusively eaten only by its recipient, Truma by a Kohen, Maaser by a Levi, but nevertheless, if a non-Levi were to eat Maaser, so no, you're not going to be subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim, and no, you're not, if you do it B'shogeg, you're not going to have to make restitution, you're not going to have to tack on a 25%. V'Rabbanan, just give me one second. V'Rabbanan, so now how are the Chachamim going to counter this position? Meaning, that Pasuk in Korach, what did the Chachamim do with that Pasuk in Korach? So Matruma Tavala Sav Maisa Rishon Nami Tava. The Pasuk in Karach is not teaching me about who can exclusively eat Maisa. Anyone can eat Maisa. What the Pasuk is telling me is the following. We have an idea of what's called Tevel. We've gone over it numerous times. Tevel is very simply any produce pre-tithing. In other words, if you don't take off your Truma, Maisa Rishon, and then it depends on which year. Years 1, 2, 4, 5, Maisa Sheni. Year 3, 6, Maisa Ani. So if you have not taken off all your taxation from the produce, that produce is called Tevel. Now, it's going to be Tevel. Let's say I took off Truma. Now let's say I took off Maisa Rishon. Right? So I took off most everything. So it's no longer Tevel, right? No, it's still Tevel. It's going to be Tevel until I take off everything. That's what the Chachamim do with the Pasuk in Korach. Kid Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yosef Amar Yachol Yechai Vel Al Tevel Shelo Hura Mimenu Kol Iker Hura Mimenu Truma Gedola Velo Hura Mimenu Maisa Rishon. Maisa Rishon Velo Maisa Sheni. Afilo Maisa Ani. Mi Nayin. How do I know that it still has the status of Tevel until I take off everything? One is not allowed to eat until you take off every matana. You got to take off truma and maaser rishon, and depending on which year, maaser sheni or maaser ani. Okay. V'imi hasam. Just give me one more moment. Let's just finish the thread. V'imi hasam havamina. So now, what comes out over here is that we have two drushas that gets us to the same point, which is it's tevel until you take off everything. We just had a drusha based on a series of psukim in Sefer Dvarim, and we had a drusha based on a pasuk in Korach by Midbar. So the Gemara says, "Imi hasam havamina lav aval misa lo kamash malan." If I only had the psukim in Dvarim, so then that tells me that yeah, I didn't take off everything, and I ate it. That's prohibited. It's a lav. What the pasuk in Korach is coming to introduce is that it's not just a lav, it's also misa as well. Misa b'dei shemayim. Lishna achrina maaser rishon detava midrabbi Yosi nafka. So we learn out that maaser rishon creates tevel like Rabbi Yosi mihahi avamina lalav aval misa lo kamash malan. But I didn't know that you were subject to also misa b'dei shemayim. The second drasha is coming to tell me that you're subject to misa b'dei shemayim as well. So kamash malan ad kan. Okay, so. Question, how come our Mishnah says that a non-Levi cannot eat Maiser? In fact, the Mishnah says that you have a Bas Yisrael, until she's fully married to the Levi, she can't eat Maiser. What's going on over here? Maiser can be eaten by anybody. So the first answer that we are right now in the middle of suggesting is that our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, and Reb Meir says that just like Truma can only exclusively be eaten by Kohanim, Maiser can only exclusively be eaten by Levium, and our Mishnah is going like the Shita Reb Meir. And meanwhile, the Chachamim argue with Reb Meir, and the Chachamim say that that Maaser Rishon can be eaten by anybody, can be eaten by non-Levim. There's no exclusivity. The Pasuk in Korach is just there to teach me that until you take off everything, Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, until you take off everything, that is considered Tevel. Eating Tevel is an Isser. Not only is an Isser, somebody who eats Tevel is subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. Okay, Alan, yeah, thank you. Yeah, go.
According to Reb Meir, or even the Mishnah, yeah. Are they inferring that Kohanim cannot eat the Maaser? I'm not talking about Truma, that is separated. I'm
right.
I'm talking about the other part of the Maaser. Are Kohanim not allowed to eat it because they're not Levian?
Right. Okay, fine. Hold the excellent question. Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to suggest that Kohanim are Levian. Are Levian plus.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, fine. It's coming up. Good. Okay, there is a Rashi. I'll make mention of it. The truth of the matter is, it's a really, in the world of discussing Tevel, it's a really big deal. Because Rashi over here suggests, if you want to see the Rashi inside, you do want to see the Rashi inside. So Matruma Tovelis. So Matruma Tovelis is like about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. So it's a big deal, this Rashi. I mean, every Rashi is a big deal, but this Rashi, many make a big deal from this Rashi because Rashi writes Matruma Tovelis. So when you have truma in the tevel, meaning latent truma within the tevel, so that is the reason why tevel is tevel. Rashi writes. I'm sorry, I wasn't super clear, but I'll read the Rashi because that'll make it a lot clearer. Kol zman shelo hufreshu, all the time that you have not taken off truma from the untithed produce, chayav and misa al achilaso shel tevel. So you're going to be subject to misa when you eat the tevel. The hamisa sivbe, because you know it says misa regarding it. The hamisa sivbe, it says misa regarding it. Presumably Rashi's talking about the truma, meaning, let's say it like this. Why is it that I can't eat tevel? Meaning the non-kohen. I can't eat tevel because you know what tevel has in it? Tevel has truma, latent truma inside of it. And you know when the truma is taken off. So now what's going to happen with the truma? If I eat truma, so then I'm subject to misa bidei shamayim. So when the latent truma is in the tevel, so therefore I can't eat the entirety of the tevel. That's what Rashi seems to be suggesting. Now that's exciting. In fact, you want to see the excitement, you could just go right to Tosfos right here on our Amud, meaning many discuss this Rashi, but the first and foremost who discuss this Rashi is Tosfos. Tosfos can't even believe that Rashi said that. My truma tevel is perish because just bishlo who for shechayv misa lechila sosha tevel da ha truma misik siva bay. Yeah, Tosfos says it so clearly, meaning Rashi was talking about truma, meaning because of the latent truma that's inside tevel, so therefore non-kohanim can't eat it. So v'kashalari meiser risha namik siva bay trumas meiser. Within meiser rishon you have latent truma as well, right? We just noted that moments earlier. So meiser rishon also, meaning shouldn't that be also be the same iser in that it has latent truma inside? Va'odi mitam zelo litzer tevel lekohen kevin to truma shayulei. And Tosfos asks a really strong question: if the entire prohibition of eating tevel is all a predicate of it's got truma inside of it, so then what's the stop of Cohen to go over to tevel and say thank you very much? I'll just eat this. Well, what do you mean it's tevel? Yeah, but right. I attended the daf on Yevamos Pei Vav. Right, I read the Rashi. Rashi says that the only reason that tevel's prohibited is because of the latent truma inside. I got news for you. I'm a Cohen. I'm comfortable eating truma. I'm supposed to eat truma. So in other words, so what's the problem with tevel? It's got latent truma inside. Okay, so what? No problem. And Tosfos says, according to Rashi, so what becomes the issue of a Cohen going ahead and eating tevel? Okay, so there is a lot to discuss over here on this entire topic. I'm going to go ahead in the Gemara because my objective is to finish a daf. And so, okay. Anyway, but it's a really exciting topic and it all comes from this Rashi. B'mai ukimta. So we're jumping right back to the Gemara 1, Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. So b'mai ukimta k'rab Meir. So now, you want to say a pshat in our Mishnah. Okay, good. We all want to say a pshat in the Mishnah. But you're saying it's going like Rab Meir. So Ema Seifa Bas Levi Mureslas Lekon Bas Kon Levi Lo Tocha Lo Bichuma Velo Bemeiser Hach Bemeiser Sika. The problem is that you're going to get stuck at the end of the Mishnah, because at the end of the Mishnah, what happened? The Bas Levi is now betrothed to a Kohen, and now she can't eat Meiser. What? What? She can't eat Meiser. Why not? Meaning, right now we're talking about a union of a Kadosh and a Kadosh, right? That, according to Reb Meir, a Bas Levi has a Kedushas Levi and can eat Meiser. Okay, so can a Kohen. Right? In other words, and right now you're telling me it's a function of exclusivity? Here you have a marriage of a Bas Levi and a Kohen. Why in the world can she not eat Meiser right now? Okay, that's a problem. That's difficult. So Amar of Sheshes Mai. Sorry, did I skip? Meiser Hacha Meiser Sika. No, I didn't. Amar of Sheshes Mai Ino Chelosik Tani. Okay, fine. So what we're going to do is that we're going to suggest a second pshat in our Mishnah. Okay, so up until now, we've been suggesting that our Mishnah is going like the Shita Reb Meir. It was a good attempt. It doesn't work all the way through to the end of the Mishnah. So here we are now. We're going to try to give another pshat. Rav Shesha says that when it says Eina Ocheles, when Ocheles doesn't mean eating. I know most of the time it does. I know. But here it doesn't mean eating. It means authorization. So my eno ochel tiktani eno nosenus reshus l'trum. What it means is that she can't authorize in order to take off truma. In other words, appoint a shliach mechlad denasun nosenus reshus, and that means to say that when you're a woman married to a kohen, so not only can you eat truma, not only that, you can authorize somebody to take off truma, meaning you have that kind of executive power. So the gemara says, that's right, exactly. In fact, V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa. V'achaltam aso b'chol makam, atem u'beisachem. So here we go back to Parshas Korach, and the Pasuk says, you're eating it b'chol makam, meaning you're eating the truma everywhere. Again, there's no limit. We talked about this in the beginning of today's daf. There's no limit where you can eat the truma. You can eat the truma anywhere. And you, u'beitechem, and your house. Limit al nesua, bas yisrael, she nesens reshus l'trum. Meaning, not only does a wife of a kohen have the right to eat truma, she has full executive power, where she can be mafresh the truma. And not only that, not only can she be mafresh truma, she can authorize the shliach to go ahead and be a mafresh truma. The she nesens reshus l'trum. I don't know. Maybe her abilities, her rights and privileges are only to eat, but not to be toreim. So Amar Truma Chamura Chalas Meiser Akal Lo Kol Shekain Eli Medal Nesua Bas Yisrael Shenasens Rishus Letrum. So to which the Gemara says no. In other words, if we know that a Kohen has the right to eat Truma, we certainly know that the Bas Levi has the right to eat Meiser. The pasuk over here is to go even beyond just eating. The pasuk over here is to tell us about authorization, that she's fully authorized to take off truma and make to appoint a shliach to do so as well. Okay. That is all the second pshat. The Gemara now goes over a third pshat. Marbere de Ravana Amar. Now, within the third answer of the Gemara, so Rashi's insistent that we're still holding that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, meaning it's true. The end of the Mishnah gets a little bit tricky, but right now we're still holding that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Rashi writes, Hachi Perusho, Reisha could do Kimna Bachila Mamish. Meaning the first half of the Mishnah, we're going to assume it's talking about consumption. And again, how can the Mishnah say that only a Levi is eating Meiser? Because our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, that Meiser can only be eaten by Levim. And then when we get to the Seifa, about the Bas Levi and the Kohen, so we're shifting. And now within the shift, we're going to go back to our Gemara right now. So what are we shifting to? Marbri, the Ravan Amar Lomar Shein Cholkin Lo, Meiser Bebeis HaGranos. The only thing that the Seifa is coming to teach us is that she can't go to the granary in order to collect. In other words, as a married woman, so she is not allowed to go and actually collect the truma. Or if she's a Bas Levi, to collect the Meiser Rishon. Why not? In other words, what's the problem with her collecting? If she has every right to eat, so why can't she collect? So Hanich Laman Damar Mishim Yichod, Laman Damar Mishim Grusha. Now here the Girsa gets a little wonky, but we're going to go with the side of the Gemara. And Rashi clearly had this Girsa. So Grusha Bas Kohen, Milo Achalp the Truma V'Latemech, Grusha Bas Levi, Milo Achalp the Meiser. Meaning as follows. Look, why can a woman married to a Kohen, so why can't she do the actual collection herself? So there are two concerns, there are two considerations. One consideration, of course, is Yichud, meaning that if she goes alone to the granary in order to collect, so she will then be in a situation where she'll be alone with another man outside of her husband. Okay? As we're about to read from Megillas Rus, so Rus wasn't a married woman, and she went ahead and she collected from the granary, and Baruch Hashem led to marriage. Yeah, but she's a single woman, okay? And her mother-in-law told her to go, but obviously it puts her in a compromised position. So fine. So by Rus it worked out, and she wasn't married. But you take a married woman and you send her to go out and to collect, so that's going to put her in a compromised position. So that's one concern. So the Gemara says, I get it. But the Gemara says, but there's also another concern, another consideration. So, and that is that, look, she'll be collecting. She's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, and she'll be collecting. And then, right, turns out they get a divorce and nobody learns about it. And then she goes back to collect. And the owner of the granary doesn't know. And he's not catching up on all the latest. And he's going to give her the truma. And meanwhile, she's a divorced woman. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in our Mishnah, who cares? Because again, what's our Mishnah talking about? A Bas Levi married to a Kohen where she's collecting Meiser. Even if she gets divorced, who cares? In other words, she's a Bas Levi. So Elagzera Mishum Grusha Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara says, I hear you, but it's still Elagzera. Why? Because yes, it's true. In the case of our Mishnah where the Bas Levi is married to a Kohen and she goes and she receives the Meiser, you're right, there's no problem whether she was married or divorced. But then, once we get comfortable with that, so then it'll move over to other cases of other women going ahead and doing the actual collection. And then we get to the problem of she's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, she got divorced, the owner of the granary didn't know about it, etc., etc. So the Gemara says, okay, but then you want to say this is pshat in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah talk about erusin? Meaning, this would be true even if they're married. So I did Tana Resha. Maresa Tana Nami Sefer Maresa. So Gemara says, you're right, fine, you're absolutely right. In other words, that the second half of the Mishnah, erusin is not the issue. The issue is that you can't have a married woman collecting. And you're right. It would have been more appropriate for the Mishnah to insert the word Nesua and not erusin. But you know, we've done this time and again throughout the Gemara. And that is a Mishnah, like symmetry. Since the first half of the Mishnah is talking about erusin, the second half of the Mishnah is also talking about erusin as well. Okay, this huh? Yeah, it's an excellent question. According to Rav Meir, it's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. I'll think about it more. It's a great question. Just to repeat the question in case you didn't hear. If a Bas Levi, according to Rav Meir, a Bas Levi marries a Kohen, so does she now no longer entitled to eat Maaser Rishon? I'll think about it more. We don't possibly like Rav Meir, but still, even just thinking about it is a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Okay. So this is a great place to just do a mid-daf review. So because really effectively we've only discussed one topic and it covered the entirety of today's daf. And that is our Mishnah makes it sound like just like a Kohen is the only consumer of Truma, our Mishnah says that that the Levi is the only consumer of Maaser Rishon. In fact, our Mishnah goes so far to say that you have a woman married to a Levi, but only through Erusin, doesn't yet entitled her to eat Maaser Rishon. She can't eat Maaser Rishon until she's fully married to a Levi. To which the Gemara almost loses its mind. What are you talking about? Maaser Rishon? Who can't eat Maaser Rishon? You have to be fully married to a Levi in order to eat Maaser Rishon? What in the world is going on? And so what the Gemara says, one of three pshatim, although I say three pshatim, it's really not three pshatim, in other words, it's building blocks one on top of the other. The first answer, which is basically the answer, is that our Mishnah is following a Das Yachid of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir takes a unique and singular position, which is not the accepted halacha, that the Truma is only eaten by Kohanim. That, of course, is universal. Everyone subscribes to that. Rabbi Meir goes even a step further, and Rabbi Meir says that Levim are the only ones who are allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. They are given the executive privilege and the unique position of eating Maaser Rishon. No one else is allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. How did Reb Meir know that? The Gemara goes through the drushas of Reb Meir. Good. The problem, of course, is that it doesn't really work out so well in our Mishnah. Meaning, as the Gemara commented, right in the middle of the Amud. So if our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, so then look at the second half of the Mishnah. Bas Levi is married to a Kohen. So, that, right, according to Reb Meir, what difference does it make? So the Gemara says, okay, so the Eino Ocheles is talking about, this is now the second pshat, this is Rav Sheshes. So Eino Ocheles means that she's not fully authorized yet, meaning that she can eat the Maaser Rishon, but she does not have full executive privilege and rights to appoint a shliach to separate the truma until she's fully married to a Kohen. Okay, that's the second pshat. And the third pshat, Marbere de Ravana, and again, it's not really a third pshat, meaning as Rashi points out, the Mishnah fundamentally is going like Reb Meir. It's that when you get to the last half of the Mishnah, talking about the Bas Levi married to the Kohen, it just simply means that she can't collect the Truma. And the truth of the matter is, it's not a function of her being a Bas Levi. It could be anybody. It just simply means that a woman, a married woman, married to a Kohen, cannot do the actual collection of the Truma. For one of two possible concerns. One, it's a Yichud issue. Meaning that she's going to be alone with the owner of the granary. And that's a compromised position, and that's one issue. And the second issue is that the owner of the granary doesn't know whether she's married or maybe she got a divorce, and he'll continue giving it to her even after the divorce. And he didn't know about it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're on the bottom of Peh Vav Amud Aleph, and Truma LaKohen and Maaser Rishon Levi Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Truma goes to a Kohen, Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, which, by the way, it sounds very similar to what we learned on the top of the Amud, Truma LaKohen Maaser Rishon LeLevi, Div Rabbi Meir. But notable difference is that Rabbi Akiva is of the position that we're just talking about allocation over here. We're not talking about consumption. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer LeKohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah takes an unbelievably unique position, interesting position, and that is that you know what you do with your Maaser Rishon? You give it to the Kohen.
All right.
What? What? Top of Pei Vav Amid Beis. Lekohen v'lo le'levi. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You give it to the Kohen, not to the Levi? I'm off Lekohen. So, no, it means off Lekohen. And, like we suggested earlier, and now Rav Elazar ben Azariah clearly is of this position, you know what a Kohen is? A Kohen is a Levi plus. In other words, it's a super Levi. So the, right. Okay, good. You're right. That's why you come to Maidaf to get this kind of, you know, manufacturer terminology. He's a super Levi. So I'm off the Kohen. My time is the Rabbi Akiva. What's behind the sheet of the Rabbi Akiva? Dechsiv, el levim, to daber, v'amart alehem. So the pasuk again back in Korach says that to the levim to daber v'amart alehem belevim kamishai kra belevim kamishai kra. So it's talking about the levim, meaning in terms of Maaser Rishon, the allocation of Maaser Rishon goes only to the levim. V'idach kid Rav Yishuv ben Levi, dam Rav Yishuv ben Levi, v'esrim v'arba makamos nukur kohanim levim. And Rav Yishuv ben Levi is of the position, meaning this is in defense of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that even though the pasuk in Korach says the word levim, but it's referring to kohanim. You know why? Because it's fair. You can call a kohen a levi. In fact, it happens in Tanakh. It happens in Tanakh 24 times. Please don't ask me that for me to cite all 24 times in Tanakh that it describes Kohanim as being Levim. Do you know how many citations I can give you? One. Do you know why? Because the Gemara cites one citation. I should be more embarrassed. But unfortunately, I just simply don't know Tanakh well enough where I can give you the other 23 citations. So v'ze'echad mehem. So I'll give you an example. Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet. Okay, now, Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet. Who doesn't know Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet? Truth of the matter is that we should know, we do know it. In other words, we hear it once a year. It's the Haftarah for Parshas Emor. So, v'akohanim halevim b'nei tzadok. Okay, so talking about the kohanim halevim. Okay, so here, one example in Tanakh where you see that the kohanim are referred to as a Levi. Rabbi Akiva ha'chalom ha'sasamar tichsev achaltam oso b'chol makom. Mi sheyachol ha'chol b'chol makom. Yatzakon shein yachol ha'chol b'beisa kvaras. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, no. It's the Rabbi Kiva says that when it says Levi, it means Levi. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says v'acholtem aso b'chol makom. You're eating it b'chol makom in every place. Meaning every place means every place. Meaning there's really no limit to where you could be eating it. Can't be talking about truma. Are you allowed to eat truma in a basic forest? The answer, of course, is no. You can't eat truma in a cemetery. So v'ida chol hechad d'baye d'lo b'ay choma. And the counter argument to that would be the following. No, get out of here. We're not talking. Chol makom doesn't mean that literally you have to eat in every single place. Chol makom just simply means that you don't need choma. You don't need to eat it within the wall. Meaning most of the time when it comes to Kodesh, you are circumscribed in terms of where you can eat it. Right? Most of Kodesh, think about it. Karban, chatas can only be eaten within the Azara. Right? Shlamim can only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Same thing is true regarding Maaser Sheni. Anything with Kedusha usually is really confined in terms of where it can be eaten. Meanwhile, Truma, you can eat it anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. It's talking to the Kohanim. It just simply means, B'chol Makom just simply means, unlike most Kodesh, which has to be eaten only within the confines of either Yerushalayim or the Azara, here it just simply means you can eat it anywhere. V'yachaleh b'tumas aguf lo laki. And it means, however, that if you eat a b'tumas aguf, if you eat the Truma while you are in a state of Tuma, so you're not going to get Malkus. That's the only thing that we're deriving from the Pasuk. Okay. Good. So, Machlokis HaTanayim, in terms of whether or not the Kohen is qualifies as a Super Levi. And according to the Shita of, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Kohen is a Super Levi. Since he's a Super Levi, so now he can become the recipient of Maaser Rishon. Meaning Maaser Rishon has to be given to a Levi? Fine. So either you find a regular Levi, or you find a Super Levi. Either way, you're allowed to give your Maaser Rishon to him. Okay. Hahiginisa. Okay, here comes a story. A real story. So Hahiginisa, there was this garden. Let me just find my place. Got it. Okay, Pevav Amud Bey is about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. So there was a garden, the Havashakal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Maaser Rishon Mine. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a Kohen, so he helped himself to the garden, and he helped himself to the Maaser Rishon from this garden. Couple words about Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, shall we? Number one, he was wealthy. Okay, the Gemara in a number of places talks about the herd that he had. I forgot the exact number. The Gemara gives a number. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot the number. Anyway, he was extraordinarily wealthy. On top of that, he was a direct descendant of Ezra. Okay, he had yichus. He had tremendous yichus. He lived hundreds of years after Ezra Sofer. Ezra was a Kohen, and he was a direct descendant of Ezra. On top of that, one other thing that we all know regarding Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and that is he took over becoming the Nasi. Right? Remember, Rabbi Gamliel was deposed. We learned this a number of times in Shas. Brachos was, I guess you can call the primary location. And Rabbi Gamliel, for a series of events. So he was deposed from his position, and they looked to put up a new person in order to occupy the now available head of the Jewish people. And so they looked around, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was nearly a perfect candidate. Problem was his age. But the Gemara says, outside of that, he was a direct descendant of Ezra Sofer, and he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and he was already wealthy, and he had a lot of things on his resume. Problem was, he was 18 years old. And he was married. Yeah, goes without saying he was married. 18 at the time? Oh, please. he was married. So, in fact, my favorite part of the Gemara, he went to go ask his wife, should he take the position? His wife said, don't do it. Right? She said, don't do it. They're gonna regret their decision, and you're gonna be in a really awkward position. And the Gemara tells us he didn't listen to his wife, and he took the position. And meanwhile, she was right. Okay, good. Anyway. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah was helping himself to Maaser Rishon. So Azal Rabbi Akiva Adjula Piskal Bei Kavre. So Rabbi Akiva was really bothered by it. Now, there's got to be more going on over here, but we don't have to dig too deep. In other words, Rabbi Akiva was bothered because who should be the recipient of Maaser Rishon? It should be Levim. Should be the recipients of it. And over here you have this Kohen, who, by the way, is wealthy anyway. But again, I don't want to dig too deep. So he shouldn't be helping himself to the Maaser Rishon. So what Rabbi Akiva did is he basically blocked off the entrance of the garden, where there's only one way to get into the garden, and that's through a cemetery. Okay, now Rav Elazar ben Azariah, yeah, you see now if you can get in here. It's a funny story. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah made the following comment, which is going to sound caustic. Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Okay, and Akiva betarmila va'anachaye. So Akiva, so he's got like his little shepherd sack, meaning he, right, he's not the wealthiest person in the world. And va'ani chaye, I'm doing just fine. Okay, so what are you doing? You're preventing me from getting my Maaser from this particular garden, Rabbi Akiva. I got news for you. I'm doing all right financially, so this is not going to really bother me that much. Okay, it sounds contentious, and we're given precious little over here. Everyone who's been around here long enough knows what I'm going to say. And that is that the Gemara over here is giving us very little information in terms of what's going on, what's the behind the scenes over here, what exactly is the friction going on between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and so really, you know, I could conjecture. I'm not going to bother, but we're only given a small little window, a glimpse into the goings on over here. But as far as we're concerned, we're really only interested in one thing, and that is the fact that Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Lishita So, is of the position that even a Kohen is entitled to Maaser Rishon, and that's why he helped himself to Maaser Rishon, because again, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, what's a Kohen but nothing more than a super Levi? Okay, so just like a Levi can take Maaser Rishon, a Kohen can do so as well. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not how it works. Allocations are mutually exclusive. Kohanim get Truma. Levi gets Maaser Rishon. And that's it. And so just a story that highlights it, but a really interesting story, but, you know, I wish I could give you more. Okay. We're going to awkwardly pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with Itmar. Tomorrow we're going to learn together. It's really a new discussion in the Gemara. Rashi makes this point very clear. In other words, it sounds like it's a carryover. It's not a carryover. It's really a new discussion regarding the post-Bayesheni Knas that was imposed upon the Levium. Okay, we'll start with this tomorrow. It's a good place to pause. Okay, let's quickly recap. Okay, the Mishnah says that that until you're fully married to a Kohen, you can't eat Truma. And until you're fully married to a Levi, you can't eat Maaser Rishon. And so the entirety of today's daf, Yeah. The entirety of today's daf is just simply ask one question. Who is not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon? Meaning Maaser Rishon is not Kodesh. It doesn't have Kedusha. Anyone can eat Maaser Rishon. Yes, there needs to be an allocation of the Maaser Rishon to a Levi. But we're talking about exclusivity of eating, and only Levim are allowed to eat Maaser Rishon, nobody else? What's going on? So to that, the basic approach of today's daf is that our Mishnah here, at the ninth parak of Yevamos, is going like the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says, yes, exclusivity. Just like a Kohen can only be eating Shuma, a Levi can only a Levi can be eating Maaser Rishon. He generates that from Psukim and Parshas Korach. It's a Hekesh based in the Psukim and Parshas Korach. And what we did in today's daf is primarily assign our Mishnah the authorship of Rebbe Meir, and that's how you make sense of our Mishnah. The Gemara notes it's a little bit difficult because when you get to the end of the Mishnah, where you have the Bas Levi marrying the Kohen, it doesn't really fit into the Shita of Rebbe Meir, meaning there shouldn't be a problem when the Bas Levi marries the Kohen. And to that, the Gemara gives a couple of addendums. Either we're saying like Rav Sheshis, we're talking about the authorization to be Mafresh Truma. You can, or you as a wife of a Kohen are authorized to be Mafresh Truma, but that's only when you're fully married to the Kohen. That's one possibility of how to understand the Mishnah. Alternatively, we're talking about collection, meaning that the wife of a Kohen is able to eat Truma, is able to authorize somebody else to be Mafresh of the Truma, but she can't physically herself go and receive and collect the Truma. Why not? One of two concerns. One, it's a Yichud issue. And two, is that the owner of the granary is not expected to know when she's married and when she's divorced. And she'll continue collecting even after she got divorced, and obviously she no longer has the right to collect. And the last thing that we did today is a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Kiva says, Truma goes to Kohanim, and Maaser Rishon goes to Levim. We're just talking about allocation, right? In other words, the second half of today's daf is no longer within the Shita Rebbe Meir. We're just talking about allocation. And Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, a really unique position, and that is that Maaser Rishon can go to Levim. It can also go to Kohanim as well. Why? Because a Kohen is a super Levi. In other words, a Kohen is just a Levi plus. So so basically he has a Kohen hat and he has a Levi hat. So a Kohen can go ahead and help himself to Maaser Rishon. Why? Because, in other words, underneath the Kohen hat is really a Levi hat. Okay, good. So he's a card-carrying member of Levium. On top of that, he's got another card. He's got his Kohen card. So and then we ended off the daf today with a really awkward story. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Kohen, goes ahead and starts collecting Maaser Rishon. And Rabbi Akiva says, you have no business doing so. Blocking off the field from Elazar ben Azariah, allowing only one point of entrance through a cemetery, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, "Good, Rabbi Kiva, I shrug my shoulders at you, and you know what? I'm doing okay." Really strange ending. Anyway, but again, this is all a function of the machlokas, Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, according to his own Shita, he was totally entitled to the Maaser Rishon to receive it, and Rabbi Kiva disagreed. Rabbi Kiva says no. The proper recipient of Maaser Rishon is the Levi, not a Kohen. Adkar.